So a proof of concept is something that we can show you what's in our heads so that we can show you what's happening in our minds so that we can take it from the realm of imagination where it's living right now.
What are you trying to prove?
This is my proof of concept, y'all. This is my proof of concept.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up. Ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 72. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, friend?
I think I've got a cough, Pete, so hopefully this isn't like that episode we did with Michael Dell where I sit there and just hold my breath and try not to cough at the mic. So, or you know, infect my boss's boss. So,
you know. My favorite part about interviewing Michael Dell when you had that cough was the dirty look he was giving you, thinking, if this kid gets me sick, I'm going to kill him. good times. Well, John, this is going to be a good episode. We've got two of our, from our sister team, we've got two gentlemen to join us to talk about proof of concepts. We have a whole team dedicated to doing proof of concepts. And so we want to learn more about what these guys are doing. And so joining us on the podcast, we've got a good old friend who's been on before, Mr. Dave Marrera. And joining him as well is Sudhir. And Sudhir, I refuse to try to pronounce your last name because I will completely mangle it. Sudhir, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So give me a shot. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, Balasubramanian.
Yeah. Would not have done well with that one. Marrera, I can do that one. Dave, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Pete, John. Thanks for having me back.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about customer proof of concepts. And Dave, Sudhir, I know this is something that you guys have been working on pretty extensively for a while at VMware. So I want to dive into the details of that. I really want to understand what it means to conduct a successful proof of concept, what methodologies, if any, you guys are using, and also some really good examples of the customer proof of concepts that you guys have been putting out there. But before we do that, why don't we set the foundation? Let's agree on a good definition of what exactly is a proof of concept. So I did some research on the interwebs, and I came up with this explanation of what a proof of concept is. And Dave, let me know, is this your opinion of what a proof of concept is?
So a proof of concept is exactly what it sounds like. A proof of concept is something that we can show you what's in our heads so that we can show you what's happening in our minds so that we can take it from the realm of imagination where it's living right now and put it out to you in a tangible way that you can see so that investors will be able to get on board with us and have a clear grasp of what they're putting their money behind and the world that we're trying to bring to life.
Yeah. So, Dave,
I'm dying.
Dave, is that what you...
exactly. I couldn't have said any better than that.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of that old... you ever see those beauty pageant interview questions? I personally believe...
Oh, that was awesome. But yeah, to answer your questions, we actually focus mainly on vSAN POCs, right? Obviously, depending on the use case, we can divert to Oracle RAC or VDI or... you know, just general workloads. So it all depends on what the customer is looking for. So initially, you know, a customer would come up and they would talk to their core SEs and say, hey, I heard about vSAN, you know, now we're in version 6.6, and I heard that since 5.5, it has increased a lot. It's a lot of features. You know, it's nothing like it was before. And we want to kick the tires. You know, we want to try it out. And this is our workloads, and, you know, we want to try it out. So, you know, the core SEs would then engage the SDS SEs, which they would come in and, you know, give the customer a talk and explain how vSAN works. And at that point, the customer decides, yeah, we want to do it. You know, we're going to get some hardware, which is, you know, VCGs certified for vSAN. And at that point, I come in and I help them with, you know, conceptual, logical, and physical designs and, you know, depending on the use case. So if it's something like Oracle, then we're going to design for performance, right? So we're going to mention things like, hey, you know, maybe you want to use NVMe's for cache and SAS SSD for capacity, stay away from SATA, things like that. So we take, you know, whatever their success criteria is, and then we're going to apply that into the design, pretty much holding their hand all the way through the vSAN deployment.
Okay, but do you like, what do you set up shop in their data center? Do you set it up, or do you basically have a location where you set this up and then you import their workload? How does that work?
So usually they would stand up a vSphere environment, and then remotely we work through WebEx, you know, meetings, calls, things like that on the design process. And then we just go through enabling vSAN and through a list of tests that we do. So we have like performance testing, which we use something like HCI Bench, and we have failure testing and other aspects of the testing depending on their criteria. But initially everything's remote. So we actually support many customers, Fortune 500s. And so we don't do just one POC at a time, but we set up shop. We're actually working, you know, 4 POCs a week, and then we roll them over.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So are you using their data, or are you just trying to simulate some type of Oracle or SQL workload?
We do both. Some customers, they like to import their VMs, which is, in my opinion, ideal. You know, we see exactly what they have, and we don't have to go dig what the workloads look like, their profiles, you know, what the IO size is, or read write percentages. You know, the cases, they don't have that. So we actually have to go in and look ourselves, because they don't even know exactly what the workloads look like. So we have to go and investigate and then create parameters to test that via VDBench or other tools.
I like that idea of you doing the realistic testing with the customer workload for a couple reasons. Because on one hand, you've got the synthetic workload generators. They're great for showing limits of platforms, but what's expected is always going to be best by showing what that is. And the other thing also is you may end up uncovering for the customer other bottlenecks in their implementation or design. If they just migrate that VM over and it had, you know, one vCPU and had a limit applied or something, you're going to find that pretty quickly. So I'm curious how often within a test you guys run, you actually find just other things wrong with the environment from doing the realistic testing.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't run into that a lot, where the customer brings their own workloads in. So essentially, synthetic benchmark testing that we do. But when we do, I mean, there's a couple instances. I believe the one POC I ran with Sudhir, we run into some configurations that had to be changed from their end. So we did discover things that had to be fixed. So that was pretty good.
And so what happens? There's a customer that's out there that's, you know, considering running Oracle Rack, for example, and they want to run this on vSAN. And that's the proof of concept to see that that vSAN can handle Oracle. What is the goal when you define a POC? Just to say, hey, look, it works.
So this is one of the things that we have a conversation with the customer. So we go to the customer and say, okay, yeah, we know you want to test vSAN. We know that vSAN is very for tier one applications, but we need to know, understand what is your success criteria? What does success look like to you, right?
Yeah.
So depending on the use case, they would say, oh, maybe it's just performance. So even if they just say that, we need to understand what performance is to them. You know, is it low latency? Is it high IOPS? Is it both? How many IOPS are you looking for? So we have to be very specific as to what they're looking for. So we hold a meeting, and then we write down, okay, let's agree on the numbers that you're looking for and let's meet them, which we usually do. So that's usually how we approach it. All the customers, they don't care much about availability or performance, but they're caring more about having their VMware admins be able to take care of storage now. Maybe they don't have a storage team and they can't afford a storage team. So that's what they're looking at vSAN. So there's different use cases when the customer's coming to us.
When I like that whole concept there of part of the outcomes being usability, not just performance, not just my batch process can run in 4 hours instead of 8, but that this environment's, you know, just a usability actually being part of the exit criteria for a POC.
Yeah, and that we see that a lot actually. You know, for a lot of VMware administrators, it's pretty easy. It's, you know, vSAN is embedded in the kernel. It looks exactly and feels exactly like you're running, you know, a vSphere cluster. It's just, you know, maybe a couple more features here and there. But to them, it's very easy to learn. The learning curve is slow, right? As opposed to other stores. So it's usually a win in that area, a very easy win.
A quick interjection. So basically, what I've seen is from an application perspective, right, there are two key things to keep in mind. So the one thing is, it's no different running Oracle workloads, for that matter, Oracle Rack or Oracle Data Guard, Oracle Data Warehousing, Hyperion, or for that matter, any product of Oracle on vSphere or vSAN, right, as it is deploying the same workload on a physical architecture. So what I'm trying to say is best practices need to be inculcated in every layer of the stack, regardless of whether you're setting up Oracle on vSAN, vSphere, or on a physical architecture. And the steps for doing that are exactly the same. So there is no difference in doing it. That's one. The second thing is, you know, especially when we talk to the customers, one thing that we always tell them is the metrics that you will get from a test, they are basically, it's a function of the physical architecture, the way that the entire architecture is carved up, and the actual workload. So if you're running Swing Bench, for example, you might get a different set of metrics because it typically taxes CPU interconnected memory. If you were running SLOB, which stands for Silly Little Oracle Benchmark, you might get IO numbers. So the question is, to Dave's point, what is it that you guys want? Or what is it that you guys want from this POC? What are your numbers? And based on that, you know, we come back and we give our feedback, right? But there is nothing close to running a real application workload. And by a real application workload, there are means you can capture it. So there are Oracle tools by which you are able to capture the actual SQLs and replay it on the target environment, which is a virtualized environment. And then you're able to compare apples to apples. But then again, you know, many customers, they have certain tools of the choice, either HammerDB or SwingBench or SLOB for that matter. And then to Dave's point, we talk to them and we make sure that those metrics are set in stone, or let's say the performance numbers are, we talk to them about what kind of performance do you guys expect or what you want to expect from this particular architecture, and then we design the system that way.
Well, this is something I love, you know, what we've been hitting on this about, and this is something internally when you're doing POCs, is make sure you get buy-in from your application owners of what the expected outcome is. Otherwise, you are going to waste months on just imaginary, you know, it's like, if you remember Peanuts, where Lucy keeps moving the football on Charlie Brown, that is what your application teams will do to you if you don't get a commitment and buy-in of targeted outcomes of performance, usability, resiliency, and so forth.
So do me a favor and walk me through. I know Dave and Sudhir, you recently did a proof of concept on Oracle, and I'm curious. We don't have to say the name of the company that it was for, and I'm sure you've done multiple of these. So generically, let's walk through one of the more recent Oracle proof of concepts that you guys had. What were some of the requirements from the team, and how did you guys meet those?
So we're actually working on one right now, and we had a big win recently, you know, vSAN and Oracle RAC. So one of the main requirements was to, you know, decrease the footprint, and actually it was like a twofold. So go to HCI was number one, and number two was to virtualize their environment because they had a physical Oracle RAC environment. So, you know, this was a little complicated just because we were not just moving their already virtualized environment, but we had to move that in and make sure it was configured properly.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ones that we had to look a little deeper and try to, you know, turn the knobs and tweak a little bit, things here and there. So I'll let Sudhir fill you in the Oracle piece.
Yeah. So to add to Dave's point, not only that, when we set up the Oracle RAC with the help of the customer team, what they found that the numbers were good. And then we did a bit more tuning, and they actually found that they were able to match the physical numbers. So the numbers that they get in the physical architecture, they were able to match it. So what we did was not rocket science, basically 101 tuning. And there's an Oracle best practices guide that basically goes into all the do's and the don'ts, basically pulls in all of the best practices from different layers of the stack. So once we set that up, we were able to match the numbers, and the customer was really happy. He was like, okay, you know, I got my log file synced down to, let's say, 2 milliseconds. Is there an opportunity to reduce it to 1 millisecond? So he was actually very pleased with the outcome of the exercise.
Yeah, and one of the things that, the reason why we exist, or there's a, you know, job for us, is that we come in with best practices, like Sudhir is saying, you know, him from the Oracle side and us from the vSAN, vSphere side. So when a customer engages us, we come in with the knowledge of knowing what knobs to turn, which knobs not to turn, and, you know, how to design and deploy properly so that they get the best performance. So, you know, we come in as a free service, and, you know, we help them set up the best way they can for their use case.
I'm curious, did the fact that you were comparing a physical Oracle rack to what you guys put out in HCI on vSAN for a virtual workload, were there any differences between the physical and the virtual? Was that part of the solution, or was it just best practices in general that they were not following, which led to be the proof of concept to show to be more performant?
So that wasn't any different, because the customer's DBA team basically set up the 400 Oracle RAC exactly the same way as they had set it up in the physical architecture. So the first iteration, when we went through it, you know, we had a conversation with the customer, and we told them that you would have to treat the virtualized architecture the same way that you would have to treat the physical architectures. That doesn't mean a one-for-one, but meaning that you would have to inculcate best practices. Typically, when I do POCs for customers on VMware SDD CSE, for example, for a virtual machine, right? For a physical architecture, you may have 20 CPUs and 64 gigs of RAM. When it comes down to a virtual architecture, the customer probably gives 2 vCPUs and, let's say, 32 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
And, you know, he or she expects that the performance are exactly the same. So, you know, we had a look at the AWR, which stands for the Automatic Workload Repository Reports that Oracle generates. We had a look at the SAR reports. And based on that, we came and said, you know what, by doing this, you would get very good results. So that was the first iteration. And the second iteration was, what is it that we can do more? because typically databases are almost every time over-provisioned, especially from a memory standpoint. So is that some benefit that we can get by cutting back on memory? How about new more configurations, so on and so forth? So in a nutshell, putting all these best practices together along with good architecture, gave us very good numbers at the end.
And on this particular POC, it was interesting because by the time I was engaged, the hardware was already in place. It was already built. vSAN was already enabled. So the configuration was not ideal. They only had one disk group per host, which we usually recommend having at least two.
Yeah.
On top of that, they were running vSAN 6.2. So, we have done a lot of performance enhancements since then, new version 6.5, 6.6, and so forth. So even though it wasn't ideal, we still were able to get really good numbers and get that performance that we're looking for.
Now, you mentioned NUMA and over-provisioning or being able to right-size. Is that one of the major drivers you're seeing on virtualizing Oracle of just getting that out-of-band performance visibility to the workloads or be able to stuff more, so to speak, by right-sizing them?
Yes. So basically, right-sizing vCPUs is something that I see very critical. It's a very critical aspect. So typically, wrong-sizing it. So if you have, let's say, 2-socket 18 cores, and if you were to come up with a vCPU number of 20 or let's say 24, which basically doesn't even evenly divide into the number of cores, what we have seen is you see the ESX and NUMA scheduler go crazy, and then you see all kinds of performance issues on the Oracle database side, right? So what we recommend is right-sizing NUMA. It helps a lot, and especially looking into the whole memory aspect, typically what happens is the Oracle memory or the SGA, the system global area, is typically over bloated. It's oversized. And then at some point of time, we don't get any return of investment if you increase the memory beyond a particular point. So right-sizing memory actually helps you make sure that your workloads runs very effectively. And last but not the least, storage is a very important aspect for Oracle database system. So not only should the virtualized infrastructure or the physical infrastructure be capable enough of sustaining the kind of IOPS that the Oracle database requires, we also need to inculcate best practices, for example, PB SCSI drivers, right? Making sure that you have enough SCSI controllers, making sure that you elongate the queue depth to make sure none of the IOPS are queued up in the guest operating system or for the matter ESXi. On that, you make the physical architecture or the virtual architecture do work for what it is intended to do. So putting all these practices together, make sure that this exercise is more fruitful.
I like that idea of, making sure you check the queue depths. There was one good blog post, I think it was Cody had a while back out there, talking about just all the places where storage can bottleneck that people aren't necessarily aware of, and understand, having the right tooling and going through all that. And that's one nice thing once you're in the virtual realm is you've got more visibility into that, and you layer solutions like VROPS into that. You can dashboard that out and see what's going on. One question on vNUMA I had. So previously for these, these giant monster databases, people would go quad socket just because that was the only way to get enough horsepower, so to speak. But because of the performance penalty that I'm hearing, 25-30% sometimes for remote memory access, are you seeing people, instead of going quad socket, go, 2-socket with more cores, or even, starting to go down in the socket count as they do refreshes on those older systems?
I would say, I want to give a classic consultant answer. It depends. So basically it depends upon the workload. So if it's a data warehousing environment, right, you would rather have a larger number of core count per socket, right, with, let's say, a lower clock speed. If it's an OLTP environment, you want the clock speed to be higher. A lesser number of cores doesn't really make a difference. So it's a mix. It's a mix. I mean, I see systems that run Oracle databases on quad core, and even those number of CPUs are not sufficient for those databases, especially big data environments. There are environments where lowering the number of vCPUs actually helps Oracle databases because those vCPUs are doing nothing. Basically,
tying up scheduling resources.
Exactly. So again, the right way to size this is not put a stick of finger in the air and say, okay, I think 20 is a good number or 24 is a good number. The right way to size this is look at the current workload, or look at the current physical workload, look at the statistics, because Oracle database generates statistics every second. And those statistics are default collected every hour. But looking at the snapshots on the Oracle AWR report, one can very easily find out what is the right number of vCPUs to be allocated to this virtualized environment, what should be the number of physical IOPS, what is the memory requirement, and based on that, if we were to set up the virtualized environment, 80 to 90% of the time, you're pretty much sure that you have started with a very good number.
And so what tools are you guys using for your monitoring? Is there a custom program that you guys use to show the proof of concept, or are you just essentially just showing them performance metrics?
So for a POC, it depends on the tools we use. Like Sudhir was saying, you know, some customers prefer SwingBench, some HammerDB. If they don't have a preferred tool, we use HEIBench. The nice thing about HEIBench is that it also triggers vSAN Observer, which allows us to see in depth what's going on in vSAN. You know, any congestion is happening, things like that. And if there is, you know, we're able to go in and tweak, turn those knobs and make it behave properly. So we use vSAN Observer a lot on the actual built-in performance metrics that we see in the UI.
And in addition to that, you know, most of the customers, especially the Oracle DBA team, they would still like to run the native tools. So I spoke about the AWR or the Automated Workload Repository. So they basically capture the report from the virtualized workload as well. So what happens is Oracle gives you a very good way of comparing these two reports. You don't have to look at the reports manually. You are able to compare reports from both the physical architecture and also from the virtualized architecture and put these two reports together and see where do you find discrepancies. Do you find performance better in one or the other? And that way you're able to go back and tune those knobs or move those levers up and down. So that's one. The second tool that I found very effective, was VROps. So VROps uses the Blue Medora plugin that you're able to plug into your Oracle Enterprise Manager database. And using that, you are able to extract statistics from the target Oracle databases. So you have two ways to go. You can either use the VROps that basically gives you the entire lay of the land. And if you wish to dive deeper, you can use tools like AWR and SAR, the System Activity Report, to dive deep into those metrics and see where exactly the bottleneck is and fix it.
I like it. I like it. One other question I had was around, I know this is, when you're setting up a proof of concept, you're basically showing that it does work, that you can, you know, that it works on HCI, works on vSAN, it's performant, I'm assuming also highly available, and you run all those tests. What about disaster recovery? Has that ever been part of a proof of concept? Prove to me that I can have a full DR plan and fail this over to another location. Is that something that you guys have done?
Yeah, there has been a couple POCs where customers want to see the whole picture, right? You know, most customers, they're new to vSAN, they want to kick the tires, they're not sure about going all vSAN everywhere, but you know, we usually start small and then they end up expanding within that customer. But there are some customers that came in and they're like, okay, we want to see stretch clusters and we want to see how that worked. And once they went through the POC, then the light bulb went off and they actually were able to figure out, hey, you know what, we have 1,000 locations around the world, let's do this, you know, like a 2-node cluster in every single one of those locations. And so that's usually how it works. You know, we start small, they expand, and yeah, some customers do, you know, SR, high availability, stress clusters for vSAN and such. Yeah.
Nice.
And on top of that, I've seen customers who, you know, even though we have stretch clusters or let's say a robo, 2-node vSAN robo in remote locations, right? I've also seen customers who would also like to deploy Oracle Data Guard. So Oracle Data Guard is the disaster recovery tool that Oracle provides. So customers have a plethora of choices to pick from. So they could either go the vSAN route, the infrastructure route, or they could even go the Oracle route if they choose to. So there's a cost associated with the Oracle route, and so there's a conversation there.
Yeah, as John always says, Larry has to get his cut, right?
Hey, you know, that fleet of yachts, you know, don't pay for themselves. So. Let's try not to make this entire episode about licensing, because it will very quickly if we go down that rabbit hole. Yeah, actually, that should be the joke and like the preamble of this show is, yeah, so we're talking about Oracle. So 98% licensing and then 2% how to size, right? That's where my conversations always go. Like, I actually don't get many. Maybe obviously you guys probably talk to the larger Oracle shops, but yeah, the questions that come to me are never about can vSAN run Oracle. It's how do I license it? And I'm like, all right, Sudhir's got a blog, so you should point at that.
Read Sudhir's blog. Yeah, well, Sudhir, we'll have to have you come back on and have a whole episode dedicated to Oracle licensing on vSAN.
Absolutely. So the only thing, and I think Dave mentioned the fact as well, the only thing I'd like to mention is Oracle licensing on vSphere, vSAN, VMware Cloud on AWS, or for that matter, any virtualized architecture is exactly the same as you would virtualize Oracle on a physical architecture. Ah. But as everybody knows, licensing is only by compute, by number of sockets or by number of cores, or named user plus. It has nothing to do with the physical architecture, which means it has nothing to do with memory, storage, network, data center, or I would say even another planet or the galaxy. It only has to do with compute. So as long as the number of sockets and cores are licensed, you're free to run as many virtual machines as you want.
Ah, that's a good point, actually.
Obviously, this show is focused on Oracle, but I mean, are you getting similar questions in terms of, you know, Microsoft SQL, in terms of next generation applications, or are you seeing, Dave, and sit here, just customers really wanting to push the limits in a lot of different directions?
Well, I'm starting to see a lot more tier one applications. Like you were saying, there's a lot of SQL. I have probably two POCs running right now on, you know, next gen databases. So we have one that's running Oracle Rack, the other customers trying to do all of them. Literally, they're trying to do SQL, Oracle, NoSQL. They want to throw everything under the sun on vSAN. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of requests for tier one applications lately. And this is, you know, how I met Sudhir and we started working on a lot of these POCs.
So one thing again, I know this has been said, but just to stress, check out storagehub.vmware.com. We've got our reference architectures. We've got our, you know, our guides there for all of the applications, so to speak, even some of these next generation Cassandra things.
Absolutely. And the other question I had for you, Dave, is what if somebody's interested in doing a POC and, you know, they hear this podcast and they're like, well, yeah, we got an Oracle environment. We were considering doing it, you know, on physical again, but hey, let's consider vSAN. What do they do? They just call Dave, you know, hit you up on your...
yeah, call Pete.
He's got a pager. We're going to give out his pager number and
I'll give you his home phone number.
Yeah. So usually everything starts when the customer engages the core SEs and account executives, right? So a lot of customers have them and, you know, they just can tell them, hey, we're interested in vSAN, whether it's Oracle, SQL, or just, you know, just a general server that we want to put a management cluster or anything like that. Engage with the core SEs, the account managers, and then they know what strengths to pull, what people to talk to in order to help you. So what we see a lot in POCs that, especially the customers that try to do their own POCs, you know, they start well, they build vSAN, but then when they're trying to get to performance testing, then that's where usually the POCs go wrong. Because number one, they did not design properly for performance. So they have something like SATA SSDs and expecting to have high performance or one disk, or they have a controller that has very low queue depth, things like that. So they're, you know, not designing properly is one thing. Also, if the test being done, even if you're using HCI bench, is not sized properly according to the cluster, then they're not going to see, you know, a good number of IOPS. So maybe they have eight node cluster and they're running a test and they're only getting 20,000 IOPS. And they're like, okay, vSAN doesn't work. It's not necessarily vSAN, it's the fact that the test was not sized properly. Yeah. So this is how we help them drive them to what they want, where you want to get, you know, the success criteria. So it's important that if they don't know how to test or what knobs to turn, you know, to engage the account executive and the VMware team to help you.
That's good stuff. All right. So it seems like regardless of what you want to do, if you're looking for a proof of concept, whether you're looking to see if there's a compatibility issue, performance, networking, scaling out, any type of business critical application, whether it's Oracle, SQL, MySQL, whatever, you can pretty much get a proof of concept done. And if you do that, you know, you can either, you know, read the best practices guides and try to do it yourself, or you can reach out to guys like Sudhir and Dave, and they'll just kind of sneak into your computer through WebEx and make sure everything is taken care of for you.
Yeah, we also have a POC guide on Storage Hub. So every version of vSAN that comes out, we update it. And it pretty much runs you through the entire process, you know, how to enable vSAN, how to test for failures, hardware failures, performance, things like that. So that's available for you guys. It's a lengthy document, over 100 pages that you can read at night if you're having trouble sleeping.
Oh yeah.
But we have that available for you guys, for anybody to go out and read up on it.
Very cool. I will leave that on the show notes of the page. I'll also leave a link to the book that Sudhir co-authored, Virtualizing Oracle Business Critical Databases on VMware SDDC. Sudhir wrote this book with Charles Kim, George Trujillo, and Steve Jones. So be sure to check that out. John, anything for Sudhir or Dave before we let them go?
Let's let them go. They're gonna go right off. They're powered by vSAN yacht across the bay, I think. How I imagine them leaving the show.
All right. Well, the nap music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A huge thanks to Sudhir and Dave Marrera for joining us this week. We'll see you next week, but until then, bye for now.
What are you doing? What are you trying to prove?
Yeah, so we're talking about Oracle. So 98% licensing and 2% how to size, right? That's where my conversations always go.
Oh, yeah.
Enough of this jibber jabber.